Born in the grip of oppression, I fought for my liberty. I paid with the blood of my people. Freedom has never been free. Now my door's always open to dreamers and friends. But when I'm attacked, I protect and defend. Because my name is America, I stand proud.
Over this past week, I have been listening to the talking heads analyze the election. And from what I am gathering from many of them on the conservative side, they're all asking the same question. They're all saying, why is this happening? This is not logical. Why on earth would Joe Biden, for example, pick the people that he did and bring us back to the America of gloom and doom? Are we going to go back to the apology tour, the appeasement? Are we going to be sending our jobs overseas again? Why is this happening? Well, to them I say, you cannot think logical. The communists, the globalists, are not logical. They are driven by power. And only power can satisfy their yearn for more power. They don't care who they hurt. They don't care who's in their way. They only care that they benefit. And that's why it's so important that we make sure that this legality, and thank you so much, Sydney, for all of the hard work that you have done to help bring this election to its rightful conclusion with President Trump as our president. You're listening to Karen Schoen, and this is the Prism of America's Education. And right now, I have been reading about the atrocities of the tech companies and what they are doing to us, what they are doing to the American people to make them vote the way they want, no matter whether it's through censorship, ad placement, word placement. It's all part of the big marketing scheme. And what can we do to get rid of these devices? Well, I have started disconnecting. And my guest, Derek Hankerson from Hankerson Productions, he also has started disconnecting. That is going to be the only way that we are going to get through this. We cannot give in to them. We have two ways to vote in this country. We vote with our wallets, and well, as we vote with our in the voting booth. As we are finding, paper ballots are going to be the way to go. And again, we give thanks to the president, his team, and all of those incredible people that have stepped forward to help America. Derek, what do you think?
They're not looking at where they're going, and their head is tied directly to their phone, which in my narrow-minded view, I'm looking at it. These people are not free thinkers. They're being controlled. They're being told how to think. They're being literally told how to think, what to think, what to think about. And I don't even think they realize it.
You're absolutely right. Listening to them speak, do they have any clue as to what they're saying?
None at all. They just repeat. And some adults do this too. They just repeat. It's a talking point from social media. And what I realized after my, Karen, I kid you not, I've had epiphanies throughout my life. My 56th birthday, I had an epiphany. I said, you know what? I'm getting back to my happy place. And you know where my happy place is? Without a phone in my hand, without being on Facebook, without being on Instagram, without being on Twitter. I'm not running for office, not interested in being the most popular man in America, not interested in the world knowing my views. And I have found that I have, since November 11th, am at a far happier state because as a free thinker, I can think for myself. I can read things for myself. I can, thankfully, through education, experience, common sense, logic, figure out things without being controlled by my phone. And another thing, I had gone into Verizon to pay my phone bill. The gentleman asked me for my phone number. I gave him my phone number. And he said to me, okay, well, if you go get your phone, I sent a text to your phone if you could give me that code. And you know what I said? I said, no, I am not going to get my phone. My phone's in the car for a reason. I'm here to pay my bill, and that's what I'm going to do without my phone. So I have taken a personal hard stand and put my phone down so I can get back to common sense, logic, and not being controlled by AI or anyone else as I have lived or had lived the first 50 years of my life. And it was only in the last 6 years that I played around thinking I was a youngster and all this artificial intelligence, social media, Twitter, Facebook, you name it, I'm done. I'm through. I'm finished. So I put my phone down and I can have intellectual, face-to-face, eye-to-eye conversations with people like I've never had before. That's what I've done.
That is fantastic. And that is really the remedy to communism, because communism demands that we don't talk, that everything is done in the tone of identity and race. And therefore, if you're a different color than I am, I'm not supposed to be talking to you. So, Derek, we're not supposed to be having this conversation. That's what communism
is. No, we're not.
You're right. We are not. Because they are fearful that in our conversation, we will come up with a different conclusion. And that is totally unacceptable.
Absolutely. That is exactly right. So having studied, as I prefaced, having studied civics and psychological warfare and communism and Marxism, and I've always come back to what this great nation was built on, this great republic, is a democracy, and I'm not going down that rabbit hole with the rest of people who cannot control their own thoughts, and I'm done. So I put down my phone. I go out throughout the day, and I don't have a phone. And I think back to the generation, your parents, my parents, they survived and lived without a phone. They had a pay phone, and they seem to have survived. So I don't think that I need to carry my phone with me as my little new security blanket to make me feel better. I'm not going to. I'm going to live my life freely like we as Americans are supposed to do. Yes, my ancestors came from other places also. They came from other places because they were being persecuted religiously, and they came to this place to live by the rules that they wanted to live by themselves, and they've been doing that for over 400 years. So I'm not changing what my personal foremothers and forefathers did 48 and 50 generations ago, be a box like everybody else who likes being controlled by a little phone in their hand and they can't think for themselves, which is actually pretty sad.
It is very sad, and unfortunately, this is something that's promoted in our schools, not being able to think for yourself. You must think along the prescribed lines that I'm telling you that you have to be thinking from. I'm the person, and I'm telling you what to do. Well, that's not America, folks. And
no, it's
that's not the way America should be. And because of that, we have allowed so much false information that we are now going to be stuck, if this works out the way the media thinks, let's hope and pray that it does not. The evidence that's being presented is unbelievably in favor of the president, and this entire election must be tossed because there's no way to remedy it anymore. And fortunately, by following the Constitution, as always, we have a way to remedy, because the Constitution is our remedy. And if we follow it, we will have a path that will bring a president that the people actually elected, not one that was forced upon us by media giants who are already meeting behind our back, planning what they want our lives to be. And believe me, folks, it is not going to be fun. Take away fossil fuel, you have no computers, you have no tablets, you have no glasses, you have no cars, you have nothing.
They have no concepts. No concept at all. Again, because they're sucked into this little device that's either what, 4.1 inches or iPhone 11 has what 6.1 inches. I don't think people stop to realize that a microchip that's in your hand cannot contain all of the information in the world, or better yet, all the information or all the books that are in the Library of Congress. But people, if they don't see it in Google, if they don't see it in Firefox or Mozilla or whatever else, they don't believe it's true. And I just have to sit and shake my head and laugh. It's like, you are so naive. But you continue to live that way if you like, but I'm going to live without that little device. And I'm going to go back to where it started for me, and that is take the time to sit and go to a library and do some research and not rely on this little box to be my brain. It's not my brain. My brain sits on my shoulder, and my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ blessed me like he blessed other people, or should I say, blessed other people like yourself and me with talents and gifts that are not being held in my hand, but it's being held in my computer that's on my shoulders, which I will use until it's time for me to go home. Not a little phone. Does not contain all of the information that I need for me to live my life. Everybody else can do what they want because they have their life to live. But at the end of the day, my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is going to ask me what I did with my life. Not what I did, not what Karen did with her life, but what Derek did with his life. And at the end of the road, I assure you, I will hear, good job, great and faithful servant. End of story. And that is what I am focused on today at 56.
Well, thank you. And I hope that more people focus just like Derek, because that's what individualism is about. Derek and I can cross paths, but we are still both individuals. Derek succeeded in his media company and has a fantastic media company, which I want you to tell everyone about your latest movies that you have made, the documentaries that he has made, because history is being stolen, just like this election was, right out from under our noses. One of the things that the Biden administration will be looking into doing will be reparations. And this is unbelievable to me that today, in this day and age, we are still talking about something that basically was, yeah. Thank you for saying that. But
nonsense.
You're absolutely right. Yeah. But before we go there, Derek, can you tell everyone a little bit about your media company and some of the things that you have accomplished? This is what you can do without being totally dependent on social media. And I always tell everyone, when it comes to social media, if it's aggravating you, stop doing it. Throw it away. Don't listen to it. Who cares what 12 million people think about you when you don't even know those people? They have nothing in your life. Derek, what is your media company up to now?
Well, I tell you, we have been extremely blessed. Karen, when I was 10 years old, having come from an exceptional American family, we were able to travel the country as kids, and I really acquired a wealth of knowledge with reference to history just by being with my parents, just by looking, studying, reading, going by a plaque, sitting and reading the plaque, and learning this incredible information in this unique place that I like to call America's exceptionalism, because we are exceptional, and there are exceptional Americans who helped establish this new world. As I was growing up, I realized that there were a lot of stories that were inaccurate, that made no sense. And I had to find the truth, because, you know, the truth will set you free. So through our media company, we've been able to focus on accurate Florida stories. And the average person has no idea that Florida is 500 plus years old. It was established in 1513. My hometown of St. Augustine was established in 1565. My family has been in America for over 400 years. Some of my neighbors and family and friends, they came over in some of the first boats from Spain 450 years ago or 268 years prior to 1776. The average person has no complete understanding that 268 years of Florida history is missing from the Florida, is missing from our American history textbooks. So what we've been able to do is to take that information that has been missing from the Florida history textbooks and connect it to the real world. The last film project that we had the pleasure of doing, and I find it comical because a lot of people thought I was crazy. A lot of people laughed at us. 3 years ago, we produced, actually, I wrote the script, directed the film, produced the film, served as one of two executive producers, and the film was on cycling. Why cycling? Well, because we had worked with the East Coast Greenway, which extends from Key West all the way up to Maine, and we also worked with the Department of Interior National Park Service to connect cycling trails. Now, why cycling? Well, I'm in the health and wellness. I realized one of the greatest things that we could do for ourselves is to take care of our temple. What is our temple? Our temple is our body. I don't put crap in my body, and I take care of my body like it's my temple. What better way to take care of your body, to take care of your temple, than to cycle, to build an immune system, to swim, to help build an immune system, to work out, to help build your immune system, and to continue to work those muscles. People thought it was funny that we produced a film on cycling. 3 years later, what happened? COVID-19. And if you look at what people did throughout the world, they got on their bicycles and they started riding their bicycles. So while I spent my own personal money on this film, it was one of the greatest things that I could do in my mind for humanity and for health and wellness. And I just laugh because everything now deals with bicycles. You drive down the street, there's a rack of bicycles. So it was a blessing for us to do something far greater than ourselves, so focused around cycling, focused around history, and focused around telling the accurate American history story. And the reason why I did that is because I realized for me as a kid, the history that I learned in Florida from my parents and relatives helped build my pride, my self-esteem, and self-worth. So today I can tell you there is no one I'm afraid of, and anything and everything I want to do, I can do based upon my knowledge, education, experience, self-esteem, self-worth, and self-respect.
Hold that thought, because that's an important one. And how many people can say that? Many cannot. How sad. And that comes, again, right out of our schools. Be right back. You're listening to Karen Schoen and Derek Hankerson, and this is The Prism of America's Education.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount, or call 844-869-9958.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Karen Schoen and my guest, Derek Hankerson, on the Prism of America's Education. Derek, before we go any further, please tell everyone where they can find you. What is your production company? How do people get in touch with you?
Well, actually, we now have two. The primary company is Hankerson Henry Productions, so you could go to Hankerson Henry Productions. And the other one that we have recently started is called Two Tails Productions. We started Two Tail Productions because as a faculty member, I've been blessed to teach a number of classes. One of the classes I teach deals with West African history, this unique group of West Africans known as Gullah Geechee. I teach history related to West Africans because I am a direct West African descendant. Yes, I do have Native American European ancestry, but my grandmother, my father's mother, was West African. So I am a direct descendant. Additionally, the company Two Tails Productions deals with our academic side. Due to COVID, a lot of my lectures will now be recorded via Zoom, utilizing it for their classes, and then working on a number of different publications, which we're in the process of producing related to, again, civics, specifically Florida history.
One of the things that I have seen happening is this business of reparations, which is now going to be foremost on Joe Biden's calendar because he was already given his marching orders from BLM, which is a communist organization. And one of their planks is that he produce reparations. As I was doing this and being a former teacher, I remembered that Florida was very unique because I don't think people realize that Florida was not part of the 13 original colonies. And therefore, Florida did not have was not a slave state. It was not a slave colony. It was developed by the Spanish, which is why we have so many magnificent Spanish artifacts in Florida. It is so important now, especially, that people understand their heritage in their own state, because that is what, according to the Constitution, Article 10, whatever is not reserved for the federal government is reserved for states. But if we don't know our state's history, Derek, then how on earth are we going to practice it? So maybe you can tell me, how on earth would people in Florida, or who lived in Florida, why would they be responsible for reparations? These people have no idea what their history is.
I will share it very briefly, but first, I don't even think people realize the definition of reparations. Isn't the definition of reparations repaying a past wrong to that person? Well, here's my first thing. And this is me personally thinking, me, Derek Hankerson, thinking. If you're still concerned about what happened 250 years ago, I would think you have far bigger issues than reparation, because slavery was 250 years ago. While it still occurs throughout the world, and it had occurred throughout the world prior to the transatlantic slave trade, and Karen, if my memory serves me correctly, I think Egypt was a part of Africa, and I think Egyptians enslaved too?
Exactly.
Right. Okay, so where are these reparations coming from? The second question is, so people naively think that Europeans just walked into the continent of Africa and plucked people. Really? You're that naive? No, brothers and sisters. What happened was, the continent has, 67 different countries? Those countries had battles and wars and skirmishes. And guess what happened to the prisoners of wars that were captured from the other tribes? I'll tell you. Instead of killing them, those people became prisoners of war. And then the prisoners of war became slaves. That was all of creation of this place that's called Africa. Okay?
Quite different than what we're being told, isn't that?
Well, the history textbooks, there was no British or English history that was written pre-1776. All of our history, Karen, was written in Spanish. It was written in Spanish because the Spaniards and Africans explored and settled the New World. And in fact, North Africans ruled Spain for 700 years from 711 to 1492. What happened in 1492, besides Christopher Columbus setting sail? We had the Crusades. What happened with the Crusades? Muslims, Christians, and Jews were fighting. Where did they go after the Crusades? They came to the New World. How did they get to the New World? Well, it was explored because Christopher Columbus, who had first asked the king and queen of Portugal if he could sail, they laughed at him. Then he went to the Spanish king and queen, King Ferdinand and Queen Isabella, and they granted him ship and men to set sail to discover the New World. Then you had, for Columbus, you had people like Vasco da Gama, and you had people like Henry the Navigator, who were Portuguese. They were looking for trade routes. So they came across the Cape Horn, came through Africa, and realized that, oh my God, these people are here farming. These people are trading goods, and slaves became part of the various different commodities, to include tea, coffee, spice, rum. And in fact, the first commodities sold on Wall Street were slaves. Why? You're building a colony. Everybody else died from building the colony, because colony in its infancy was nothing but a swamp. What breeds in swamps? Mosquitoes. Who's susceptible to mosquitoes? Well, the only people that were susceptible to mosquitoes were people who had a gene that's called sickle cell. And the majority of these people were imported, were called West and Central Africans. Why? Because they, unlike Europeans and Native Americans, had been farming and built up resistance to mosquitoes. And that's why Africans were imported en masse to Central South America and the Americas to build this exceptional nation. They were the ones that to do the work. They're the ones that did the work. More importantly, they were experts in agriculture. They were experts in irrigation. Irrigation and agriculture works together. They helped build the colony. Back to your question with reference to Florida. Florida was a territory. That territory had existed while there was slavery. It was based on the Spanish concept of slavery, which was based on the Islamic concept of slavery post-1492. The Spanish adopted many of the Muslim and Islamic laws related to slavery, and it was different than the European slave system, and that's where people were confused. The Carolinas had the British chattel slave system. Florida had an Islamic slave system, and that was not based on race. That was not based on color. It was based on your family status and your family name. So free blacks, free Native Americans, and free people in general lived in Florida until about 1854, when Florida became a state. And Florida, you're right, was totally different. So don't confuse us with all these other 13 colonies and assume that we just popped up in 1619 or 1776. No, we popped up in 1513 when Spanish and Africans founded La Florida, or founded the territory of Florida, and it was named La Florida. And then the Spanish and Africans continued to sail and settle places like Texas, Arizona, Colorado, Los Angeles, City of Angels. I mean, it's common sense, people. All these names are Spanish names. Where do you think it came from? All it takes is a little bit of logic and common sense. And Karen, here's the biggest part. All you got to do is look at a world map. Okay, if you look at a world map, you'll see that Spain is right next to Portugal, is right underneath Africa. Now go do some extra research and research how long Spain, Portugal, and Africa has been in existence. And you'll find out the cradle of civilization is where? The continent of Africa. That's where we all came from. And you can deny it until you're blue in the face, but every research in this world, to include archaeologists, historians, and academics, are now going back to the birthplace of civilization, and everybody came out of that birthplace. Just look at a world map, and you will realize from logic and common sense that everyone came to the New World from those areas to include the Mediterranean. Florida's 268 years of history. Our Florida missing 268 years of history needs to be put back or needs to be implemented in history textbooks so people can actually educate themselves on the truth. And that is if they want the truth, but I want the truth because I realize it has set me free. And I've been free for a very long time and not going backwards. And again, not being sucked into this AI or this fake history that's being pimped.
I agree with you. I think the most dangerous thing that has happened throughout the last 20 years is this identity politics. And that has just taken America and turned it on its head. Because prior to this, I remember being a business owner. The most important thing to me was when I was interviewing someone, could you do the job? I never looked past that part. Could you do the job?
Right.
Would you be an asset to my company? Would you help and assist? Would you make my company your life and your company as well?
That's the biggest difference in Florida. And that was the biggest difference with reference to agriculture in Florida, because it came down to, we don't care what color you are. Either you can do the farm work or you can't do the farm work. That's
exactly
what it came down to. And other families who moved to Florida from the north or wherever the hell they came from brought their negative attitudes to Florida and they infected the water. And what I mean by infected the water, they infected the way people thought and tried to change how Florida was conceptualized and processed and thieved. Florida, who came in the 18th and 19th centuries with their own narrow-minded view, and they tainted the water. Because Florida has always been and always will be very ethnic. Here again, it's Spanish Florida for a reason, people. Florida was settled by the original governor of Puerto Rico. I guess the name Ponce de Leon.
I was just going to say.
Mendez means nothing to you. Those are Spanish names. That's why people spoke Spanish here. That's why people speak Spanish here. So it shows your ignorance when people say, well, I'm glad you're here. Now speak English. Well, naive one. The original language that was spoken after the 900 Native American languages was Spanish.
And the good part is, and always was, that when the Spanish came here, they also learned English.
And they spoke five languages. And here we are speaking one, thinking it's, oh my God, we speak English and they speak it all over the world. No, they do not. That's another misconception. The people that were here in Florida pre-1800 mass immigration, they spoke four and five languages, people. Four and five languages.
Amazing. And today our children can't even speak one.
And that's where I was going. We've dumbed down our populace and we think it's okay. It's actually pretty sad.
And that goes right back to the original premise of what I said when 85% of the people had no clue as to who Biden was and what he was all about. 85%. Yep. And there was a reason for that, and that is because the Americans have been kept ignorant on purpose. Remember what Lenin said, an educated person wants more, requires more from their government. So keep the people stupid and they won't ask for it. And that's what we have right now. How sad is that? We have gone full circle, gone from the age of brilliance to the age of ignorance. How sad.
You just hit the nail on the head. And why have we gone for that? Because it's more convenient for someone to carry around a phone and get information from their phone than to go to a library and read four or five different books. And that is exactly what I meant when I said in the beginning, I'm getting back to my happy place. My happy place is reading books, not reading my phone, which has limited information. And the information is AI. It's artificial intelligence. It's not real.
And say the first word. It's artificial. That's the whole deal. It's artificial. It's not real. It is created by someone. AI didn't get to be AI because, you know, it just came out of the air. It was created
artificial intelligence.
It was created by a human. Now, who said that human had the right to create something that forces you to think a certain way? That's not the way. Derek, I want to thank you so much for joining me today. Can you please give everybody a quick where they can find you before we run out of
time? Yes. Thank you so much, Karen. You can find us by going to any web browser, typing in Hankerson Henry Productions, and one of the projects we're working on right now, we are involved in a number of pilots. This one pilot is being filmed in or on the Treasure Coast. Another pilot we did a couple of years ago from Marco Island, that's being taken care of in LA, and we are looking at a number of different scripts for full-length featured film. One script is called Fort Mose, which focuses on the first free black settlement in North America. It is 2 miles north of my family's hometown of St. Augustine, 2.5 miles north. First free black settlement in North America established 1738. These West African men were fighting for freedom and independence 38 years before the American Revolution. And the second project that we're focused on is a project out of Atlanta dealing with sex trafficking. And you will be able to find that information at Hankerson Henry, Hankerson Henry Productions.
And I'd like to have you back and we'll talk about sex trafficking because that's high on the hit parade. But thank you so much for joining me today, Derek Hankerson. You have been listening to Karen Schoen and Derek Hankerson with the Prism of America's Education. And we'll be right back.
Spreading the out loud truth from sea to shining sea. AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. This is not a fight of Republican versus Democrat. It's not a fight of rich versus poor, old versus young, man versus woman, gay versus straight. It's not a fight of black lives, blue lives, Hispanic lives, or white lives. This is a battle of good versus evil. It's a fight for the soul of humanity. We are the vision of the voices, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Have you noticed how the left is trying to snuff us out? Then tell us ridiculous things that make absolutely no sense and expect us to adhere to it? Well, I read a story the other day about one pastor that was incredibly creative, and I loved it. He was in South California, and Governor Newsom is closing the churches left and right. Let us never forget they hate Christianity and Judaism. Your allegiance must be to the government, not to God. There is no God, there's no room for God in anything that the communists do. But anyhow, this pastor was, I thought, wonderful and hysterical because he walked into his congregation, he did a strut, he took his tie off, and he said, "We are now going to be a strip joint." What an amazing, amazing ingenuity. You're listening to Karen Schoen, and this is the Prism of America's Education. Their total job is to destroy Christianity. They cannot and will not allow people to think on their own. They must not allow people to follow their own destiny, because then people who are free thinkers are way, way, way too hard to control. And that's really what this is all about. The COVID stories have nothing to do with COVID. The restrictions are not going to make anybody sick or well. They're just there for absolute control. And that's what they want. They want us to stop the fight that our forefathers did, because as we celebrated this Thanksgiving season, we remember that our forefathers came here to escape religious persecution, as well as develop new trade routes. That was part of the program also. But religious persecution was high on their priority list. Why on earth would we want to go back into that time frame again? We listened to our forefathers. They did not want to run empires. They did not want to be kings. They wanted to have a government that was run by the people, and somehow that has been lost. But I brought Pastor Rick Stevens because when it comes to talking about Christianity and Judaism, there is nobody better than to go right to the source. So, Pastor, do you think that this communist crowd is trying to use COVID to snuff out our religious freedoms?
Well, I think they will use anything that they have to advance their totalitarianism, their tyranny. And I think part of the program has to be stamping out any religion that says men and women are free people and are free to honor God. I think they're up against something they have no idea they're tackling, because arguably the most formative story in the history of God's people took place in Egypt when Moses went to the Pharaoh and said, "Let my people go." And I think that that's got to be our message to all of these people. Let my people go. You have no authority to do what you're doing, and you need to stop and allow the people of God to be the people of God. It's really simple and straightforward.
It sure is. But the people need to have that inner fight. The people need to have that inner drive that says to them, "You have had enough. You don't have to take the abuse anymore. It's up to us." Wouldn't you think, Pastor Rick?
Oh, absolutely. I don't think the American people realize that they have that much power in their hands. I come at it from a church perspective, and some of my people sometimes will say to me, "Well, are you going to stand up when?" And they'll put out some kind of hypothetical scenario. And I tell them, I don't worry too much about me. I'm pretty sure I know where I stand on things, and I am going to stand. What worries me is, will the people of God, the church, the people in the pew, you might say, the laymen and women, will they stand when it's time to stand? And I worry a little bit more about that, because sometimes I'm afraid people are too quick to think, well, we've just got to be nice and cooperate. And absolutely, we need to be nice. But we don't cooperate against laws that are against what God says is right and what God says is wrong. Because a law that is not moral in God's sight is no law at all. And we all need to realize that that is the way it is. That's the way it must be. And God's counting on us to stand up for that.
And our founders knew that. And those are the words that they put in the Constitution. They said that this republic can only stand for a moral people. Because remember, folks, success does not care whether it's good or evil. They just care if it succeeds. So if you're out to do something and be successful and your goal is evil, it's not going to matter if you succeed. You will feel an accomplishment for that. So morality was a big part of the American heritage. And I think that that's the value that they are trying to get rid of the most. I think that that's the one that they fear the most. When it comes to the point, will man do something good or will they do something evil? I heard that in Oregon, they have made all of the hard drugs legal, and now they are thinking about having heroin dispensers, but yet they're closing churches. How is that possible, Pastor Rick?
I have no idea how that's possible. The only explanation is that they have become so caught up in their power and so afraid of what's going on that they just don't behave sensibly. But the really worrisome thing is we need to encourage the pastors and the people of the churches to stand up and say no. In our lifetime, we've seen where totalitarian regimes knuckled under when faced with the power of the church, when people stood on the church and its moral authority. We saw that in Romania. We've seen it in Hong Kong. And we didn't think we'd have to do it here, but we do. And we need to stand up and say enough's enough, no more. We are not subject to what you say. You're going way beyond the consent of the governed, and we, the governed, refuse to comply.
And when we embrace a God who supports us and says, "You can have freedom, you are a free being, but you have the freedom of choice. We have the freedom of choice." And I find it so incredibly disgraceful that these same people are the people that tell a woman, you can have the choice as to whether or not you want to kill your unborn baby, but you can't have the choice as an adult as to how you will handle your COVID treatment. Isn't that amazing?
Well, it is amazing. And it causes a lot of us to just wonder what's going on and where we've come from and where we have arrived at, and even worse, where we're headed. And I think the answer to that is we've come a long way from where we were, even in our lifetimes. We're at a place that we never imagined because it just feels so wrong, and we're headed in the wrong direction. And so it's time for us to realize that if we keep going down the road in the wrong direction, it's a lot harder to turn back and get on the right path. I've made a wrong turn or two when I've been out driving someplace and I wasn't familiar with where I was going. Well, fortunately, I realized it pretty quickly and was able to get back on the correct road and get in the right direction. We need to realize the right direction, and we need to get on it and get off the wrong direction. And that's when we have to stand up and say, enough's enough. And this is not the right thing for us. This is not the right thing before God. And we're not going to stand for it. The American people can do that. We've just forgotten that we can. And we need to remind ourselves not only that we can, but that we must. It is not an option. It's imperative, because all of this stuff is going to end up at our own doors. It's going to come right to our own homes. And we're not going to be able to run away from it. Now we can say, well, that's just California or that's just someplace else. It's not going to stay there. It has a way of spreading, and we need to be prepared, and we need to push back, and we need to stand up for that which is right and true and honest.
And one of the things that we should be looking at is this election, because not only are we being forced to accept illogical things happening in mathematical anomalies, but we're also being forced to accept behavioral things that make absolutely no sense at all. Fortunately, we have wonderful people who are making sure that this information gets out there, that people know what's going on, and that people are not going to be forced to accept those lies and will demand the truth. But again, it's up to we, the people. We can have all of this evidence put in front of us, but if we don't demand our legislators, ourselves, our families to accept the truth and to always strive for the truth, then all we're going to be doing is accepting lies. And when you accept lies, the truth doesn't matter anymore. And to me, that is the breakdown of any society. When lies become your way of life, your society can no longer exist. What would you think about that, Pastor Rick?
Well, there's certainly all the evidence in the world that we need to look for that which is true in all of this election stuff. I often say to people that this just doesn't pass the smell test. Now, I don't know that we have all of the evidence to say with certainty this happened, this happened, this happened. But there are so many things that point in the direction of something happening in more than one state and in quite significant ways that could have been enough to change the outcome of the election. And I think we, the people, need to make sure that all of this does pass the smell test. Another way I sometimes put it, I say we need to have well-calibrated baloney detectors, because we can tell when people are just talking about things and they don't know what they're talking about, or they're trying to mislead us. And that's one of the unfortunate consequences here, is that when we sense that the truth is not getting out, when we sense that people are telling us something they want us to believe rather than that which is really so, then we really get suspicious of everything we hear. It's truly sad. The more and things that I listen to, the more things I pay attention to, the more questions I have about whether they're really telling me the truth. And it almost doesn't matter what this story is or what the specific details are. I keep wondering, are they telling me the truth? Well, that undermines everything about our confidence in each other and our ability to work together and have a civil society. We simply have to listen to our instincts. We have to pay attention to what's going on. All of these things need to come clean and be as clear as absolutely possible, so we can have confidence that our elections are free and fair and honest. And if they aren't, it needs to be fixed. The problems need to be remedied and the confidence of the people needs to be established, or why bother? That's what it'll come down to. Why bother?
Yeah, and that is the definite end of a civilized society. When you say laws and rules don't mean anything anymore, and when everybody is floating to their own the beat of their own drum, and we don't do things that are together anymore, and we don't do things that are for everyone anymore, there is no civilized society, because everybody is just going to be living in chaos. Not only did I hear defund the police, but I heard get rid of the police. How can you live in a civilized society with rules and laws if we do not have the police who can say, no, wait a minute, you're not supposed to do that. Do the right thing. That's the law. We don't have that anymore. We do, however, have, and I'm beginning to see, and hopefully you are also, Pastor, I'm beginning to see more and more Americans paying attention, and that is really a wonderful thing. And I have a feeling that over the next couple of weeks, we are going to be seeing more and more rallies and more people calling into their legislators, especially in those five states, telling them, do not certify lies. When you have a dump, as was just pointed out, because Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, thank goodness, is allowing a hearing, an open hearing, on what went on with the votes. When you find out 600,000 votes came in for Biden only in the middle of the night, and out of that, 3,000 of those votes were for Trump. That is totally illogical when a couple of hours prior to that, the president was up by 700,000 points. It's mathematically impossible. It does not compute, because there's a logarithm that fits with how many votes were there, how many were Biden, and how many were Trump. And when that trend line starts and then all of a sudden stops and reverses and goes into a totally different direction, I get to say, what's wrong with this picture? Because that is what we are seeing right in front of us. I'm so happy, and we are so lucky that we do have, I think it's 3 or 4 states right now that are saying no, just like you, Pastor Rick. They said, does not pass the smell test, and let's see what we can do, and let's see what we are going to come up with. So I think we are headed in the right direction. And this is the Thanksgiving, Christmas, Hanukkah, holy season for all Americans. Pastor, I'd like you to leave us with a prayer, with hope, because that's what this is all about. Pastor, I would like you to end the show with the best and most impressive, positive prayer that we can have, because I'm really tired of all this negative garbage.
Well, I think a lot of people are tired, Karen, and I think you're exactly right. We need to hang on to the hope that we have and remind ourselves of what we can depend upon, and that we really can have faith in God and how he has our back. I took a friend to church with me on Sunday, a little short friend. It's called a Weeble Wobble. And I put that Weeble Wobble down on a stool up front, and I just pushed it and it wobbled a little bit and it popped back up. And I said to everybody, I'm really thankful on this Sunday before Thanksgiving. I'm thankful for Weeble Wobbles. They all kind of looked at me like I was silly. And I guess it finally proved true that I am. Well, a little later on in the service, I revisited that Weeble Wobble and said, no, I'm really thankful for Weeble Wobble. Weebles wobble, but they don't fall down. And I think that is such an important lesson for us. Weebles wobble a lot. That's what they do, but they don't fall down. And we might wobble, but we don't fall down, because God gives us strength. So let's turn to him and let's pray and let's trust him. And when we stand on his moral authority, we will have the strength to stand up to anything, because he will help us. Heavenly Father, I'm grateful that you teach us important lessons, even through little toys that children play with. And you remind us that many things in life come our way, and probably all of us every one of us have had reasons to wobble. Things happen that we would never want to happen. They happen to us, to our families, to our friends. And sometimes we wobble under the stress and strain of that. And while we might wobble a little bit these days, we are thankful that when we trust in you, you give us the weight to keep us upright and steady so that we will not be dismayed. We will not be discouraged. We will not be overcome. We will not lose heart. We will continue on because we know it's your promise to us that no matter what happens, we might wobble, but because you are there with us and you support us, we will not fall down. So we thank you for that. And we pray, I pray for every listener this day, that you would give them new strength, a re-energized spirit, and a confidence in you that grace provides and that will give us reasons to live, to thrive, and to stand strong in every situation. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Folks, as we enter into our most holy season in America, we must always give thanks that we are Americans, that we are allowed to worship the God of our choice, and that we respect ourselves, each other, our families, and all fellow human beings, because we all live on this earth together. But if we don't instill upon ourselves the demand for truth, then we will forever be lost. And as we go into this season, we have many things in America that we're going to be facing, and one of them is this election. I caution you, don't listen to the media. Don't listen to the people who are screaming to stop. The reason being is that the majority of them are involved in this fraud. We know it, they know we know it, and now they're trying to get out of it. But that's what they do all the time. Listen to the evidence and be true to the truth, because it is only the truth that will set us free. Is America worth saving? I know our president thinks so. Do you? Will you help? What will you do? Thank you all for listening. Pastor Rick, thank you for joining me. You are listening to Karen Schoen with the Prism of America's Education and Pastor Rick Stevens wishing you a very happy, healthy, wonderful, successful holiday season. But I'll always stand proud and free. I'm American.